Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. We have been tracking state-by-state primaries. Also, the big reveal this past week of Kamala Harris's running mate for vice president. So we're going to get input from Scott Parkinson on all of this. Scott, welcome back.
Thanks, Loman.
Let's go now to Missouri, which held its primary election this past week. Some interesting developments in congressional races there. Want to fill us in?
Well, earlier we had a retirement from Blaine Lucemeyer, senior member of the Republican Party for Financial Services, creating a really big competitive Republican primary that had several strong candidates. And ultimately, Bob Onder and Schaefer were the top two. Onder ended up really doing well in his own base. He was a former state senator and had run for Congress before, about maybe 15 years ago. Well known in the area. And Bob Onder won that race. Club for Growth PAC and Club for Growth Action supported him. Donald Trump endorsed him. And I think he ended up winning that one by about 10%. So we're really excited for Bob Onder. He's going to be really one of these tremendous conservatives, a bright mind. His wicked memory, to be honest, I've talked to him several times, and it's amazing how people can pull out votes that they've taken 15 years ago and use strong points of reference. So I think he's a tremendous leader, and I'm really excited for Onder and his victory. Then we also had a sort of upsetting of the apple cart for the Democrats, where Cori Bush lost her nomination to be the Democratic nominee in her own primary. And this is actually the second member of the Socialist Squad that has been thrown out of Congress. You know, Jamal Bowman lost his race in New York about a month and a half ago. I think that when you look at the policies that a lot of these extreme progressives have, they do not fit with the congressional district in which they represent. The Jewish community for the Democrats are really coming out against folks like Cori Bush, like Jamal Bowman. And I think that it creates additional strife within the Democratic Party for November.
Speaking of the Democratic Party for November, we had Kamala Harris officially being named the nominee, the presidential nominee of the Democratic Party. She also unveiled her pick for vice president, and it was surprisingly not whom everyone considered to be the front runner. That would have been Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. So what do you think came to play there?
Well, we get back to this question, right? He was Jewish. His spouse is Jewish. And how many Jewish people can be on the Democratic ticket? And so I think that Kamala sort of bowed to the Democratic elite and decided that she wasn't going to have that fight between those that want a ceasefire and those that believe Israel has every right to defend itself following the October 7th attack by those Hamas terrorists. This probably puts Michigan back in play, and it probably secures Minnesota because she ended up selecting an extreme radical named Tim Walz, the current Democrat governor in Minnesota. He's got a long 24-year history in the Minnesota National Guard. But this week, we've also learned a lot about him and the fact that he may have exaggerated his military record, including his rank at retirement, including whether or not he actually served in combat or whether he just supported the war in theater in other countries like Italy. And I think that, you know, Waltz's positions when it comes to George Floyd and defunding the police, when it comes to gun control, when it comes to being a sanctuary state, effectively, you know, Minneapolis, sanctuary city, you know, we've seen big things going on, obviously, on the southern border. Another candidate, Mark Kelly, probably would have been a better choice for them if they wanted to talk about border security in Arizona. But I think that instead, the Harris campaign is going to continue to try to cultivate this illegal alien population to vote. And in my state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, this week, Governor Glenn Youngkin and our Attorney General Jason Miaris teamed up and threw over 6,100 illegal aliens off Virginia's voter rolls. It is indicative of the massive effort from dark money groups that Soros is supporting that are pushing illegals to get out there and register. And you need leadership that I think we've seen from Governor Youngkin telling these folks, if you vote in the elections as an illegal alien, you are going to be prosecuted for election fraud. You know, that's sort of a refreshing position because I think a lot of people are really worried about backlash from the illegal alien population in America. But somebody that's not really worried about that backlash is Donald Trump. The Trump America First message of ensuring American citizens are taken care of and that our votes are duly counted and fully represented at the ballot box. That stuff matters to, I think, a really big number of voters. And I'm hoping that all governors will join Governor Youngkin in issuing executive orders. But the other thing that Congress can do between now and then is going to be on this continuing resolution, this funding fight that we're having near the end of September. And some Republicans, including Donald Trump, want to include a bill called the SAVE Act. SAVE Act was introduced by Chip Roy in the House, Mike Lee in the Senate, and it would require people to prove that they are an American citizen in order to register to vote. That would certainly take away the ability for these illegal aliens to impact the electoral outcome. And I think that Republicans and Democrats alike need to make sure that that's included in September so that we have free and fair elections for American citizens.
Taking a look at the selection of Governor Tim Walz for Kamala Harris's running mate, also J.D. Vance having been selected by Donald Trump, do you see both of these selections, Scott, as really playing to the base and setting up a base election war, because neither pick really expanded the electoral map for their party?
Well, I think that they're both targeting the Rust Belt, because Trump won in 2016 by winning Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. And obviously, a lot of those states went opposite direction, I think, with the exception of Ohio in the 2020 election. And that's why this idea of picking Josh Shapiro made a lot of sense, because so many people, including me, believe that Pennsylvania is sort of the tipping point for winning the Electoral College. And Walz is a folksy Minnesotan, might resonate with some people that are extreme liberals in the Midwest, but I don't see how he represents the independent voice that's feeling forgotten and disconnected from the political ruling class. J.D. Vance's story, which everybody can read about or watch the movie if you want to see Hillbilly Elegy, that resonates with a heck of a lot more people. Now, on policy, obviously Vance is MAGA and America First and fits in with everything Trump stands for, which I think is a good thing because Trump has already set the tone on policy. And Kamala Harris has done the same thing. She's an extreme radical. And for her to pick somebody like Tim Walz just shows that there's not a lot of breathing room for independent voices in the Democratic Party.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C., and we are united in the idea of economic freedom, liberty, and opportunity. You can check us out at clubforgrowth.org, learn about Club for Growth PAC and Club for Growth Action, and all the candidates that we're supporting in the 2024 election.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, we'll look forward to talking with you next week. Take care.
Thank